Psalms 106, verse 37. Psalms 106, verse 37 tonight. Psalms 106, verse 37 through 41. Psalms 106, 37. If you have that, let's stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's word tonight. Psalms 106, verse 37. The Bible says this: Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was, notice this statement now, polluted with blood. Thus, verse 39, were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, in so much that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Back up for a second to verse 38 again. And shed what kind of blood? Innocent blood. Even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Well, that sounds like our nation tonight, doesn't it? Verse 40, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray tonight that you would come now, Lord, and do a great work through me tonight. Do a great work through this sermon tonight, Father, that might be a help now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. From time to time, I think it's important for us to understand some different things about our own country, about our own nation. We have an election coming up. As many would say, this is the most important election of our lifetime, and I think that's true, but for several reasons, of course, but one reason it's always the most important election of our lifetime is because it's the next one. That means it's making a decision for the immediate future of a country and a nation. So I think, without a doubt, and of course, a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I preached a message about how to decide who to vote for. I can't remember. I called it something like that. But this tonight is not a political speech. But I'm afraid sometimes about the ideas we have or who we might be listening to or the things we might be coming up with. Sometimes I think the places where we get some of our information from aren't always the best, and I'm not against reading the newspaper like the Journal Star or something like that, or catching a news broadcast. However, not everything that always goes out there is 100% true or 100% accurate by any way, shape, or form. So you have to be careful about believing all that you hear and read. You know, the Bible says there's so many voices in the world. Amen. I got a message I preach about that. There's so many voices in the world, and none of them without significance. There's always somebody saying something. Amen. There's a lot of voices out there. But you have to be careful about believing everything. Things are not always portrayed accurately. History tells us this, that we first abhor, then we tolerate, then we defend, and then we make a move to embrace it. That's typically what happens throughout history. First abhor, then tolerate, then defend, then we move to embrace it. Tonight you shouldn't let CNN or someplace like that decide or dictate to you what you believe. Not any way, shape, or form. Don't believe everything that's put out there. Don't believe you hear these negative ad campaigns come out by politicians against other politicians, and they come up with all of this, you know, vicious attacks like the one out there in West about the ranching situation and all of that business about the, I don't want to get off to naming names because these days you got to be careful about that. They'll try to take away our tax exempt status and say we're running a political campaign for somebody. But you got these negative ad campaigns that say so-and-so was suing so-and-so because they really wanted their land and that's what they really wanted. And you can't always believe all that stuff and say, oh, they sound so horrible. I wouldn't want to vote for them. That's the way the devil works. That's the way the liberals work. That's the way a lot of things work in a lot of ways to try to influence you, because so many people today, they just believe what they happen to hear in passing. They hear something like that and they say, oh, well, that means they ain't no good. A Christian philosopher wrote this, Malcolm Muggeridge. Wrote this, was a man's name, but he wrote this: I conclude that civilizations wax and wane. By nature of the case, there can never be a lasting civilization. It is the nature of man to perish and must be so. The world is full of debris of past civilizations and others known to have existed that have not left behind any debris at all, but just simply disappeared. All great cultures eventually fall into decline. It is also true that many of these great civilizations decayed from within. And there's your key. They decayed from within. Did you know how the Roman Empire fell in history? Most of you probably wouldn't know because you're not that studious at history, but the Roman Empire didn't really get taken over by anybody else so much. Rather, they decayed from within. It was one of the most powerful empires that ever existed on the face of the earth, but the decay came from within the empire. That's how it decayed. Tonight, the greatest fear we have in our nation is not some terrorist attack. It shouldn't be anyway. The greatest fear we should probably have is the decay from within our own country. That's the greatest fear. I'll go a step further, the decay within our own fundamental churches. That's the greatest fear. Our own Bible-believing churches, our fundamental independent Baptist churches, the decaying of them. I abhor such things throughout history as terrorist attacks like the one in 9/11 2001. That's the most recent. Now that's not even that recent anymore. It seems like in some ways it's just yesterday, and man, you look at the calendar and you say that was a long time ago now. It's 2012. I abhor also though 12/7 of 41, the attack on Pearl Harbor. It was a terrorist attack in many ways also. And it happened long before I was born, but guess what? I still abhor it. But these are not near as scary to me as the decay of the internal parts of our nation tonight. Our nation is decaying from within, and it's in large part because our churches are decaying from within. They're decaying from within. The nation's decaying. Christians are decaying. Churches are decaying. It's a shame, but that's where it's at. Tonight, let me give you a reminder of some of the core values that we have held to as a nation. A man who wrote a book, the book called When Nations Die, named in that book 10 factors that bring death to a nation. Let me give you the 10 things he said. Number one, increase in lawlessness. Increase in lawlessness. I'd say tonight, we're there. There's an increase in lawlessness in our nation. There's an increase in lawlessness. Number two, he says, less economic discipline. Wow. Less economic discipline. The current president we have has spent more money than any president ever before him has even come close to ever spending, ever. Even close. I mean, it's not even this close on a page of paper. The figures. Way more. He says it's to help us. Of course. I mean, you always help a country and a nation who's in economic decline by spending more money and putting the country into more debt. That's what works for your personal finances. Try it. If you're in debt $10,000 tonight and you're in trouble because of it, go ahead and loan another $20,000 out and put yourself in $30,000. You'll be better off. Until that $20,000 is gone, then you owe the $30,000, then you're going to be worse off. Worse off. So, we have less economic discipline tonight. He also says, this book, When Nations Die, it's a good book, I read it many years ago, rising bureaucracy. Rising bureaucracy. I'd say we're there. We create an organization, a bureaucracy for about everything you can think of. I mean, every time we turn around, we're adding an office for this, we're adding an office for that, we're adding an office for this, and we're always more governmental control, more governmental control. No doubt, though, it's getting to a place where it's definitely heading towards that new world order of where you can get to a place where somebody can just take over because all the law enforcement agencies are downscaling and mixing into each other. You know, they've just built out here at the military base that we have in our town, and yes, for those who don't realize it, we do have a military base in our town. It's out by the airport, but they just built a new command center out there. Guess who they just moved into it? The State Patrol Communications Center has just moved into it. That's a military base. Why would the Nebraska State Patrol Communications Center need to move into there? So they can have better communication. I dare say that it won't be too long and the State Patrol itself will be moving in from off of Highway 2 and moving into there. And so what does all that mean? All that means, folks, is just the steps in the process to where eventually it just becomes a one nationwide police force type of a thing, and it's just going to be a military police force and so forth. It's heading that way. I mean, we're a ways off from that, but it's heading that way. All the groundwork and framework's being laid for it. And so what would that matter? The excuse that they're using is it saves money. But the truth of the matter is, what it matters is, guess what? If somebody that's corrupt takes over, it's much easier to control the entire force at hand that would enforce all the things that you want to enforce if they're all underneath one command, under one guise. Amen? Amen. Okay, two of you can see it. The rest of you are blind. Number four. Decline in education. Decline in education. I'd say we're there. There's a decline in education. Definitely so. Definitely so. Number five, weakening of cultural values. A weakening of cultural values. I would say we are there. We have been there and are going there more and more. When you have a influx of people who come into your nation and they do not believe like you believe. I'm talking about their non-Christian people and so forth, okay? But they bring with them different cultural values and the cultural values that are in place in our nation. So you have the religious thing. We'll set that aside for a moment. But just the overall cultural values that they bring, and then here's what they do. They try to get us as a nation to adapt to help fit all of those cultural values from all of those people that come from all these different places. I said, well, preacher, what's the matter with that? We just want to make them feel at home. The problem is it's overall weakening our cultural values because of that. And for some, you may not be able to see that, but if you've got enough wisdom, and believe me, I don't think I'm that wise, but I got enough wisdom to see that weakens our overall cultural values of where we stand as a country, just as a whole. Here's the thing. Here's what they'll say. Well, we're all just people from different parts of the world by our ancestors. Well, you're right. America's made up like that, sure. Sure. I've got ancestry that came, on my mom's side, Czechoslovakia. But guess what they did when they came to America? They became Americans. Amen. 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 Were they Czechoslovakians? Yes. Did they become Americans? Yes. Did they fly the American flag? Yes. Did they salute and pledge allegiance to the American flag? Yes. They became Americans because they realized one thing. We're here to live now. My grandfather was a farmer. Okay, he worked hard. He was a farmer out by Wilbur, Nebraska. And, man, he worked that thing and he worked hard. There's no doubt about that. But guess what? He considered himself now an American and a part of America when he came here. By the way, he came over on the boats from Czechoslovakia. So guess what he became? An American, and it was the American flag. Oh, yeah, they still in their house. Grandparents talked in Czech and so forth and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But they did learn English, and they did become Americans, and they did realize, hey, this is America, and we have to go ahead and do things like America does it because, you know, after all, we're not trying to turn this into Czechoslovakia because if we were, why didn't we just stay in Czechoslovakia because it wasn't so great over there, okay? So we're coming over here now. We're becoming a part of you. When you join something, guess what you do? You become what they are. Otherwise, you don't join them. Right. Amen? But what we have now, folks, is a lot of people who are trying to make us into what they are. Right. But what they are failed. That's why they're coming over here. Amen. Because if it was so great where they were at, they wouldn't be coming over here. They'd want to be where they were at. Amen. And say, well, you're just the grandson then of somebody from Czechoslovakia. Do you ever have a desire to go over there? Very little. Very little. I was saying I would never like to go visit. I've thought about it before, but, you know, not much. So why? Because I'm an American. This is my home. Amen. And I'm, you know, I got respect for where some of my family came from, some of my relatives came from, and I wouldn't mind visiting, but I know this, it ain't near as nice there as it is here. So I'm pretty happy here. Amen. I certainly don't have any desire to go live over there unless God were to call me to be a missionary over there. But because I'm an American. Amen. I have certain cultural values that I hold to and things that we hold to as a value. Amen. And we realize, hey, this is America. We come here. Amen. It's my job to realize that I'm here in America now. I need to do things like they want done culturally in America. And I've tried to make them do it like I do it over there. Now, some of you even sit here tonight may not see the point in that. But the truth of the matter is, trust me, I think the majority of probably do see the point in that. Right. It changes our country, and it will eventually over time. For a small period of time, they say, oh, what's the big deal? But as it continues on, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. With Lincoln, Nebraska, you're dealing with at least at one time, it may be the rankings may change now, but the 14th largest refugee center in the United States, for a city our size, I don't think we realize the 14th largest refugee center in the United States, Lincoln, Nebraska, the 14th largest. I mean, that's on a scale of New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston, San Antonio, all cities that are massively huge compared to Lincoln. And we rank at 14th. Yeah. And we have 3,000 to 5,000new refugee immigrants that come in just about every year into the city of Lincoln. That's changing things a lot. The thing is, they need to learn to adapt to us. We don't need to learn to adapt to them. You came and joined us. You learned how to do things like us. And we'll help you. We want to help you. But we want you to realize, hey, this is our culture here, not becoming your culture. And if you want to keep your culture in your home, that's wonderful. That's fine. My grandparents listened to polka music. Amen. I don't know how in the world anybody can stand that stuff. But they love polka music. Amen. They did when they were alive anyway. But I like polka music. Amen. Now, I can remember hearing it as a kid going over there. You know, they squeeze those, one of those things, accordions, you know, accordions. They always playing the accordions, you know. And that was their culture. That's what they loved. But you know what? They want to play that in their house? Have at it. Bless God. I got no problem with that. But when you try to make the society as a whole fit your culture, doesn't work very well. Doesn't work very well. Hurts our nation. Number six. The tenth thing he says in When Nations Die is a loss of respect for traditions. That goes a little bit hand in hand with the one we just talked about, but a loss of respect for traditions. A loss of respect for traditions. Traditions are somewhat important, amen. They're not the most emphasized thing, but there's something important to hold to tradition. You put it in a scale maybe that... I think we can do that. But you might understand a little bit easier. Deal with many of you, especially tonight, are like football fans, like Nebraska football fans. Okay, one of the problems or things that they've said have happened since, you know, Tom Osborne and Frank Solich and all those coaches are gone and they brought in the new coaches then, was that the culture has changed and the tradition is a loss of tradition. And even with the current coach we have, there's been a loss of tradition. Like the black shirts. He doesn't understand it. That's the problem. He says you got to earn them. Well, that's not how it works. You're a starter. You've earned it. Amen? So you just give out the black shirts. So, well, that's not a big deal. Oh, wait a minute. That's a tradition that's going by the wayside because every year that goes by, and I don't dislike Bo Pelini as our football coach, but guess what? He's weakening that tradition because of the way he's treating it. It's being weakened to eventually where it'll mean about nothing one day. But yet it was a big deal. One day, and if you know somebody don't know anything about that, then you just didn't understand that. But there's about five of you guys that probably understood that. So, but he's weakening that. That's what happens in the nation as a whole when traditions are weakened, when things are just it's not a big deal anymore. When it was, wait a minute, we always did it this way because this was tradition. Now, tradition should never out. We're not talking about spiritual things. You be careful of the traditions of men when it comes to the things of God. The Bible always outrules tradition and so forth. But respect for overall tradition, and we're not talking about spiritual things or sinful things, is something that should be kept and held on to. Number seven, increase in materialism. We're there. An increase in materialism. Got to have the latest, greatest of everything. Got to have the nicest car. Got to have the nicest house. Got to have the nicest shoes at school, kids. Got to have the nicest of things. Got to have. Now, my wife and I were going for a walk the other day, and we're talking about things. We were kids, and she was talking about how she was made fun of because they didn't have the latest this or that when it came to article of clothing. And I said, well, you know, I said, my family wasn't as poor as yours, but I said, I can relate to that a little bit. I said, because I went to a private school here in town, and guess what? It was mainly consumed of a bunch of rich kids, and guess what? They made fun of me because I wore shoes that came from Payless. You know, I didn't have Nikes and Adidas, the latest and greatest of them all the time, which cost about three times more. And so they made fun of. Now, I said, you know, in my case, she said, I just had to tolerate it. I said, well, in my case, I'd punch him. So that's why I kept getting suspended from school. But when you're in the third grade and you keep giving them a bloody nose in the bathroom because they're making fun of your shoes. Well, there you go. But anyway... And they were glad to see when we left. They said, he's going to the public school next year. They said, praise the Lord. Now, it's a shame, but that's where we're at. Increase in materialism. Number eight, a rise in immorality. A rise in immorality. We're there. We're there. We're there. We're there. Nobody gets married anymore. They just shack up. Immoral. Immoral. Homosexuality runs rampant. Homosexuality pushed to the fullest. It's a lifestyle choice that's a sin. Nobody's born that way. But they're telling you and teaching you that you're born that way. They're teaching it as fact, and it's not. Number 9, a decay of religious belief. A decay of religious belief. This goes back to the other thing we were talking about with culture and tradition. It's a decay of religious belief. It's not a Buddhist nation. Amen. It's not a Muslim nation. But they're trying to take over quietly. And there's a lot of Muslim people who are very nice people, yes. And very much decent families and all of that business, yes. But you know what? They are changing things slowly but surely. But by the way, their true belief system of their book, the Quran, is that they have to kill the infidels if we won't convert over. So you're kidding yourself if you think you can be best pals with a bunch of Muslims and one day that they're not going to slice your throat when you're not looking. Because they will one day. They will one day. Because that's their goal. They want to take over our country from the inside. They can't beat us militarily. They don't have a country that could stand up to us. They can't have the best terrorist groups that can stand up to us militarily. But what's the best way? Just come on in through the doors. Just make yourself a part of the group with your belief system. Children will grow up here. They'll join the military. Things like that. Pretty soon, you got half the military, half the policemen, half the voters all believe in Islam. That's how they take you over. From the inside out. Amen, Brother Lewis? Yeah, he just sent me something on that. I've seen some things like that before about how they work, but it's true. That's how they work. Try to take you. Folks, they've already taken over cities like Dearborn, Michigan. I mean, they're the majority there. I mean, you want to have peace and quiet during prayer time? You might as well forget about it, because they're booming their prayers over loudspeaker systems in that city. Their Muslim prayers at prayer time. You know, all this, you know, I don't know. You know some of that language, don't you? You just told me yesterday your language is mixed with Arabic, so yeah, give us a few lines. No, just kidding. And you said your language is a mix of French and Arabic, so leave the French part out, just give us the Arabic. And I'm just kidding. But that's what's going on. I said, well, what's such a big deal? That's an American city, folks. Dearborn, Michigan. Tell you what, I've never been to Dearborn, Michigan, but at this point I don't have any desire to go there, bless God. Do I have any desire to go? Hey, you ever been out soul winning and come into a building? We have a few times. I know. But Lewis and I have a few times, I remember. I can remember one. We went over here, and some of the others who've gone with me have gone into them. And you got like these prayers going on. And it's like this in Arabic. It's their prayer time. And here we are knocking on their door. They used to say most of them didn't answer. Anybody that did wasn't friendly, that's for sure. But they're taking over. Taking over. Number 10. Here's the last one, the 10th one. Devaluing of human life. Let's focus the rest of tonight on number 10. 39 years ago, or at least I believe about 39 years ago, this last January, there was a decision made. 7-2 votes. The case was Roe versus Wade. Made it legal to tear apart human bodies, that of babies anyway, inside the womb. To destroy by protection of the very law itself. They call themselves pro-choice, and they call us anti-abortion. I'm not anti-abortion. I'm for life. Amen. If that makes me anti-abortion by their terms, I guess then so be it. But I am for life. In our little church tonight, I dare to say that probably 100% of you agree with me about being pro-life. However, for 39 years, the blood has dripped on our nation of innocent children that have been murdered before they even got out of the womb. It's a tolerance for things like abortion. Years ago, I counseled someone in our church here that had an abortion, despite the fact that I was against it. They were sorry later, but it was too late. They no longer go to our church and have it for many years. My wife and I tried to help them, but there wasn't much you could do. They were upset about it, but it was too late, and it happened. Now, that's too bad for them, but just because they didn't like anything I'd preach about it from then on or whatever else, ain't going to change nothing. It's still murder. It's still wrong. It's still no different than those scriptures we read tonight where they were sacrificing their children. It's no different. It's no different. It's no different. It's murder, and it is wrong. I'll tell you tonight, people's increased desire to fornicate is part of what feeds the abortion bill. And it tells me that they don't value life. If they valued life, they wouldn't even think about getting an abortion tonight, much less ever dream about going through with it and actually doing it, like some have. But because they sin to excess, they fornicate to excess, and then they go ahead and get the abortion done, they don't value life. That's the reason why I don't want people in our church listening to filthy music. It stirs passions within you. Leads to improper sex acts. It's true. That's why I don't think you ought to watch TV sitcoms tonight. Because they're filthy. With sexually suggestive comments that stir ideas in your mind, and sexual misconduct is what's leading to the murder of thousands upon thousands of babies every year. Because they don't want them. And the argument that they want to always make, the liberal always says, what about cases of rape? That's less than 1% of all abortions performed every year. Less than 1%. And say, what about it, preacher? I still wouldn't be in favor of it.
Right.
Two wrongs never make a right. Ever.
Right.
Two wrongs never make a right. Ever. So what do you do? You better figure out a way to deal with it, but murdering that kid ain't going to be the answer.
Right.
It's not going to be the answer. I know some won't like to hear some of this stuff because one wants these soap operas and all this junk and whatever they call them, friends and whatever. I think that one's long gone. I don't know what they even got now, but the shows where all the girls' belly buttons are hanging out these days and the boys' rear ends are all hanging out and whatnot else. And the day and age when my wife used to watch them, it was MASH and Cheers and junk like that. They're only 10 times worse now, and those weren't any good then. They're bad. They're filthy. They're rotten. They've got nothing good in them. There are 5- and 6-year-olds that know the facts of life, partly because of television. This loose sexual conduct leads to abortions. Why do I believe that in Lincoln alone, 30 children should not be murdered every week? I'll tell you why tonight. I'll tell you why I believe in the sanctity of life tonight. I'm going to give you 10 things why. I'm going to give you 10 things why. Number one, a rose by any other name is still a rose. That's number one. I'll explain that in a minute if you don't understand it. A rose by any other name is still a rose. You call it a fetus. You call it a tissue of mass. You call it a tumor if you want. But the truth's still the truth. It's a baby. That's what it is. When you murder it, it is a fetus. When you birth it, they call it a baby. I can't figure that one out, bless God. It's a fetus because it had an abortion. Oh, she gave birth to a beautiful baby. All of a sudden it became a baby, bless God. Hey, when you were murdering a few months before that, it was still a baby. Still a baby. A rose by any other name is still a rose. No matter what you want to call it, bless God, it's still a baby. And it's still murder. Still murder. They would, children of Israel, they would come and get caught up in this worship of Molech, and they would take their children and they would burn their children. Molech would be a statue with a fire in his lap. They would take and set their child on, they would burn their child in that lap of Molech. But I'm telling you tonight, in America, we've been burning our children with saline solution in the wombs of their mothers for an awful long time, bless God. A rose by Any other name is still a rose. Number two, poverty should not determine morality. Poverty should not determine morality. Poor people can't afford to have kids, is what they'll say. That's an excuse to get an abortion done. They can't afford to have big screen TVs either, but they buy them. And they and Best Buy own them. Usually together. But they got them. I don't think we should let economic decline of lazy people decide what's right and wrong in this world. That's no excuse for murdering a baby. No excuse. Morality is important to be upheld, and it's immorality to murder babies, and we should not let poverty determine and dictate that. Number three, why would you want to kill the byproduct of quote-unquote making love? That's their term, not mine. Why would you want to kill the byproduct of quote-unquote making love? With a question mark. They don't know the definition of love. But that's what they call it. Well, that would be the byproduct of it by quote-unquote their terms. I don't want to get too graphic. But why would you want to kill it? It doesn't make any sense. Except it's not love. So what is it, preacher? Lust. It's lust, not love. It's lust. That's why they don't care. As the Bible said, without natural affection, amen, there'd be the day when they have no natural affection. That's what it is. It's no natural affection. You know, I saw, what was it? Oh, I wouldn't say his name anyway, but I couldn't think of it. But I saw a guy in the paper the other day. They arrested him. And what is it? He's got 15 kids, all from different mothers. 15 kids. They finally caught up to him and arrested him. Threw him in jail. Now he's out. If he gets a job, and if he starts paying child support for all them kids he's shelling out all over the place. Say he loves them all, he'll love any of them. Amen. Otherwise, why is he out running around looking to make more kids somewhere instead of taking care of the ones he's got, bless God. He'll love them, take care of the ones he got. God knows love. These people don't know love, but are feeding these abortion mills. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. He knows love. Number four. Abortion tonight is destroying our potential as a nation. Abortion tonight is destroying our potential as a nation. I wonder if we accidentally aborted the doctor that would have had the cure for cancer. We could have. There was probably some potential. I wonder if we aborted that one. We've discovered some famous cure for some horrible, awful disease that's taken some of your loved ones even here. And we probably aborted them. I wonder if we murdered the technician that would have developed a replacement for oil or gasoline. Maybe a future president, great leader, has been aborted. Maybe some great preacher that would have built a great church somewhere for God has been aborted. Say one, I'd say probably many. I'd say probably many these last 39 years. Probably many. Many. We have been destroying our potential in our nation. What nation in their right mind would destroy the potential of their own people? That makes no sense. Everybody knows it's best to raise your own, amen. That's the best thing. You raise your own, you bring them up. Why do you think the Mormons want to have so many kids? Because they just want to raise their own. Oh, they go out and do their quote-unquote evangelizing. But they just soon they all be like the Yeagers and keep shelling out kids, amen? Because they want them to shell them out. In fact, really what they want is for them to have many wives so they can shell out more kids. Don't get any ideas, guys. But that's what they want. Because what would they like to do? They'd like to raise them up, but what do they know that that brings to the table of their churches? Quote-unquote churches for them, but potential. More potential. If you increase the pool, there's more potential to draw from in that pool. We've been decreasing our pool by aborting babies, by by aborting babies. 30 a week out of southeast Nebraska, right here in Lincoln. That statistic's a couple years old, but probably even bigger now, truth of the matter. Abortion is destroying our potential. Number five, we are killing our vision for the future. We are killing our vision for the future. Every time some abortion doctor performs one of those things, he's saying that America has no more future. Isn't that what Pharaoh did to the nation of Israel? When he wanted to hurt him, what did he do? He killed all the babies, right? That's what he did. Yeah. No vision for the future. What was he after when, I'm talking about Pharaoh now, what was he after when he was doing that? He was after their future as a nation, wasn't he? Yeah. Want to get rid of them? Want to hurt their future? Let's kill the babies. Let's kill the babies. Let's kill the babies. Moses survived. Why? Because his parents defied who? Pharaoh. His parents defied Pharaoh. Moses was a proper child. What did Moses end up being a big part of? Israel's what? Future. Yeah, big part of their future. He was raised up by God and used by God in Pharaoh's house, amen, but used by God to lead them up out of that place one day. What if he would have been killed? He might have been if the parents wouldn't have defied Pharaoh and trust God. And that's what they did. Number six, we said number one, arose by any other name is still arose. Number two, poverty should not determine morality. Number three, why would you want to kill the byproduct of making love? Number four, abortion is destroying our potential. Number five, we are killing our vision for the future. Number six, suffering is a necessary part of life. Suffering is a necessary part of life. Some of them want to kill all handicapped kids. What gives them the right? Why do they want to do that, by the way? They want to hide our what? Our suffering people. They want to hide them. They want to get rid of them. What did Jesus do for us? Did he suffer for us? I think he did, didn't he? Yeah, quite a bit. Quite a bit. Jamie Sedgwick was a failed abortion attempt. Where are they at now? They're a missionary to Mexico. He's handicapped. He's handicapped. But used of God. Number seven. We shouldn't magnify sensual pleasure above personal responsibility. We shouldn't magnify sensual pleasure above personal responsibility. I won't ever believe that glands tingling for somebody is more important than a child breathing. Amen. A child breathing is a pretty important thing. Amen. I don't think there'd be a parent in here that has a child. Obviously, you'd have to have a child if you were a parent, right? That doesn't love that child to death and care immensely about that child. How could somebody take a child like that and kill him? Right. Say, well, but they didn't know him. But they were a fetus. So that de-emphasizes it? That makes it less important? No, not at all. Not at all. Sensual pleasure should never be lifted up above personal responsibility. Never, ever, ever. Never. Personal responsibility should always take place. That is the doing of right. Number eight, why do I believe in the sanctity of life? Because it violates the right of the child. It violates the right of the child. The ACLU is a bunch of traitors. They say women have their rights. That child has a right to live. That child has a right to live. Has a right to live. Has a right to live. If a politician thinks it's okay to murder babies, why would we even as Christians consider voting for them? That makes no sense. That makes no sense whatsoever. Number nine, abortion does not discriminate against age and size. Abortion discriminates against age and size. I said that wrong. Abortion discriminates against age and size. Let me explain. Is it less of an offense to murder a short person than a tall person? Of course not. Come on, you short guys, where you at? Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. John the Baptist in the third trimester leaped in his mother's womb when he heard about his cousin Jesus. Amen. So, well, that's just a fetus. No, that's a baby. That was a baby. Amen. It wasn't just a fetus. It was a baby. It was a baby. Look in your Bibles at Isaiah 49. Well, looked up too many verses tonight, but let's look a couple up. Isaiah 49, verse 5. Let me show you something. Isaiah 49 and verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the what? Womb. That's mama's belly, ain't it? To be his servant. To bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Look at one other verse, Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah 1:5 says this. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Oh, wow. So God knew him before he even formed him in the belly? And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. God set him apart, And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God had a purpose for Jeremiah before he was even born. It's not a baby, it's just a fetus. If we have an abortion, it's a fetus. If they give birth to it, it's a baby. No, it's a baby either way. No matter what you do, it's a baby. And if you go ahead and you have an abortion, you're murdering a baby, is what you're doing, bless God. I don't care what our nation said for 39 years, our nation's wrong when it comes to that. It's murder. It's murder. It's murder. No doubt. Number 10. We're almost done. America has always been for the underdog. America has always been for the underdog. The Statue of Liberty says, give me your poor. We send a lot of aid to many third world countries across the globe. We say to the Eastern European, come to America. We say to the Mexican, come to America. We say to so many others from so many other parts of the world, come to America. Why don't we tonight decide to say to the unborn, come to America. Come to America. Come to America. We've got a lot of potential in our rooms that's being slaughtered, and we've hurt our nation because of it. Possibly great doctors, possibly great presidents, possibly great preachers, possibly a lot of great people that could have done a lot of great things in our country, and we've killed them. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. America has always been for the underdog. Why don't we start being for the underdog of the unborn? Let's stand to our feet. Well, I believe in the sanctity of life tonight.